Hello, everybody. I'm Ed Robinson, and welcome to this special edition of the League Wraparound. Yeah, it's that time of the year again. It's the big one. That's right. It's all about the big game, and for the first time ever, it's being held in the city of Las Vegas. That's right. Elvis said it. Viva Las Vegas, and certainly everybody's festive. You know, it's that time of the year. Everybody from all over the world will be coming to this one city, Las Vegas, that is, for this year's big game, and to talk all about the sights and everything, including the two teams involved in this year's game. I got to welcome him back to the program. You know him. He's been on talking football, talking a whole bunch of stuff. We love his analysis and his expertise. Let's welcome him back to the program. You know him. Give it up for Eric. Hey, E, what's going on, my man?
Hey, what's going on, Ed? Great to be back on the show. Talk about the biggest game of the year and one of the most exciting weekends of the year. I think they should make this a national holiday, my personal opinion. But, yeah, I can't wait for the game.
Bruh, it's long overdue, man. They should make it an official holiday, bruh. Everybody has their food, and everybody has their wings and their burgers and their nachos and stuff. Now, before we talk about the teams just for a moment, just kind of talk about what makes this, in your opinion, so special, and why should it be an official holiday?
I mean, it's sports at its best. It's the best two teams, usually the best two teams. Sometimes it don't work out that way. But this year, I mean, it's the two best teams. I always felt like Kansas City was better than Baltimore. I said it all year, and it proved they're in the Super Bowl. And I said, you know, 49ers by far was the most superior team in the NFC, and they're in the Super Bowl. It's just the build-up to the game, you know, like you said, the food. Me, myself, on Sunday, I'm going to be boiling some seafood, some crabs, a little bit of shrimp, you know, potatoes, sausage, corn, you know. I'm going to kick back with my brother and watch the game. And some people, like you said, do nachos. They do burgers. They barbecue the wings. It's like a get-together. You know, you get everybody together. You sit in front of the TV, and you enjoy the football game, and that's what it's about. So, yeah, I'm definitely excited about it.
Man, I'm getting hungry. You just mentioned boiled seafood with the shrimp and the crabs and stuff. And then, bro, like we mentioned earlier, burgers, wings. I mean, whatever your preference is, bro, it should be an official holiday. It should have been like that for decades, bro. Who knows? It may be an official holiday, but nevertheless, bro, it's going to be a big game. It's not just America, but worldwide, people are getting into the NFL and getting to the big one. So, bro, you mentioned that one of the teams, the Kansas City Chiefs, the champions of the AFC, the San Francisco 49ers, the champions of the NFC, San Fran, KC, in the Super Bowl. Let's start off talking about the NFC champion, San Francisco 49ers. So, bro, they won the NFC West. They locked down home field throughout the playoffs. Tough game against the Packers. Come from behind victory over the Lions. Before we talk about like the impact players for the 49ers, bro, I just describe the 49ers, not just their season, but their playoff run.
Well, you know, during the season, it's like Christian McCaffrey was unstoppable. At times, you know, Brock Purdy looked off, but when it mattered, he put it together. And you know, if Deebo Samuel wouldn't have got hurt, I think they would have done a lot better. You know, he missed about three or four games, and that offense is different when Deebo Samuel was not in. So he came in and for the playoffs. I mean, look what he did. He lit it up for the playoffs. So that playoff run was something special. You know, they beat a really good Green Bay team. They beat a hot Detroit Lions team. And like you said, and they were down for a while in that game, but they come back, and that's the resilience of that team, and that's what that defense can do. When you think you got them, you don't got them. That defense will cause a sack, fumble, interception. Before you know it, Christian McCaffrey done took a screen 80 yards for a touchdown. Brian Ayuk done caught a one-hander over two defenders, and Brock Purdy can scramble. We figured that out, too. He will run with the football, and he will get first downs. It's a full all around team, and you got to talk about the coaching too. I mean, the coaching is crazy over there. The coaches are good, the players are good. They even got good field goal kickers. So yeah, they pretty well put together team. It's going to be a tough team. You know, there's a reason they won the NFC West and went on to win the NFC Championship game.
Yeah, rightfully so. I mean, the 49ers are a solid team. You mentioned one of the guys. We're going to get into him in just a little bit. I want to start off talking about the quarterback. It, you know, Eric, the NFL has been a quarterback's league for a long time. Brock Purdy, a.k.a. Mr. Irrelevant, well, knock on wood, he has the chance to be Mr. Relevant for many years to come in terms of helping the 49ers get a chance to pull up that Lombardi trophy. And his first 2 years have been solid. His rookie year got hurt in the NFC Championship game, didn't finish the game. This year, completely different story. Come from behind victories against theirs, and of course, that NFC Championship game against the Lions. Give me your thoughts on Brock and his motivation coming into this game.
You know, you hear a lot of people saying Brock Purdy's a system quarterback. He's a managing quarterback. He's a good quarterback. A game manager don't drop back, then scramble out the pocket and complete a pass on a run on a sideline. That's not that. That's talent. A game manager is someone who takes the ball right away and throws it, you know, quickly. He sits in the pocket. He goes through his progressions. He'll go through the first read, second read. If it ain't there, he'll scramble. Then he also knows to dump it off to McCaffrey. So, man, he's played phenomenal, and I've seen it in him last year. I mean, he beat out a number, what, 3 overall pick in Trey Lance. I mean, Jimmy Garoppolo, who's done led 49ers to a Super Bowl. So 49ers saw something as well, and now we see it. And I got a feeling we're going to be seeing this game a few more times down the road. As long as Brock Purdy's the quarterback for the Niners, they always have a chance to win. He's not a game manager. 31 touchdown passes is not a game manager. That's a talented quarterback who knows what to do with the football, and he knows where to go with the ball. He don't make many mistakes, and if he does, he's not going to make them back-to-back. So, yeah, Brock Purdy is a solid quarterback, and I think he's going to be a solid quarterback in this league for years to come.
Yeah, Eric, he definitely has the potential, and you got to remember, yeah, with the talent, you mentioned with Trey Lance and Jimmy Garoppolo, the talent was surrounded. They were surrounded by the talent, those two quarterbacks, but, man, Brock Purdy is definitely making the most out of it, and, man, he's definitely got a bright future ahead of him with the 49ers and definitely in the NFL. Remember, after this season, he's got 2 more years left on his rookie contract, so it should be interesting. And I want to talk about the fullback position for a moment. Kyle Juszczyk. Now, Eric, he plays a position that is very underrated in today's NFL. Give me your thoughts on Kyle and his season.
Kyle Juszczyk is, I mean, he plays fullback, but he could catch well off the backfield. I think he went to 8 straight Pro Bowls. So, yeah, he's definitely he wins this Super Bowl. I'm going to put him in the Hall of Fame. I'm just saying. I mean, 8 Pro Bowls, catches the ball well out the backfield, picks up the blitz well, and he could run the ball. But, like, he could catch down the field. He'll catch the ball 40 yards down the field like a receiver, and he can make the block, and he can get that third and one. He's got the, I guess, the finesse and the power and the vision on third and one to get that first. And he had a really good year. I think he was 85% on third and ones if they gave him the football, which is pretty good in the NFL to pick up first down. So, you know, if you're giving it to him, it's a good chance you're going to get the first. And when you got a running back like McCaffrey there as well, it opens up a lot for him. You know, McCaffrey could be the decoy while he's going out and they throw the ball. He'd catch it 20, 30. I seen him catch a one-hander earlier this year on the sideline. 1 foot was out of bounds. The catch didn't count, but, I mean, just to make still, the one-hand catch for the fullback. In today's NFL, you don't really see a lot of fullbacks. Some teams don't even really run with fullbacks. But I look at him, he's labeled a fullback, but he's an athlete, in my opinion. He's very, very underrated. I don't think he gets a lot of credit for what he does. And I'm not saying he's underrated. I'm just saying when it comes to when you talk about the 49ers, you don't really hear his name come up. You hear Christian McCaffrey, Debo, you know, and Bosey, but his name should come up a little bit more because he's definitely part of that ingredients.
You're absolutely right, bro. Kyle Juszczyk, so underrated, man, but he fits that 49ers offense like a hand in glove in doing his part as a fullback. All right, wide receivers, Brandon Ayuk. You mentioned his name, Eric, at the beginning of the show. Brandon made that circus catch in the NFC Championship game against the Detroit Lions. Brandon's been a solid number two to Deebo Samuel. Give me your thoughts on Brandon and his season.
I mean, I look at him like a number one, my opinion. I mean, he runs routes very crisp, and he could locate the football and catch the ball and contort his body in angles that you ain't supposed to. And like you said, that crazy catch in the NFC Championship game was a nice catch, and he did some good catches against Green Bay. But, man, yeah, he's definitely no doubt a number one to anybody else. Just in this offense, you know, you got Deebo, and, of course, McCaffrey gets a lot of targets, and, you know, Kittle. But, yeah, he's definitely someone you're going to have to pay attention to, because he'll end up with 180 yards and two touchdowns real quick.
Absolutely. Brandon Ayuk, man, just so important to that 49ers offense. I want to talk now just briefly about another receiver that makes some solid plays, and that's Juwan Jennings. He's operated pretty well. He's had some flashes during the season. Just give me your thoughts on Juwan and his season.
Well, yeah, his season didn't really start out too consistent, and I think he came along more when Deebo got hurt for them weeks. They seen what he can do, and I think that's why he's playing a little bit more and getting a little bit more targets. Don't be surprised if he don't get a lot of targets in the Super Bowl just to throw off the Kansas City defense, because you know they're going to be zoning in on Deebo, Kittle, Ayuk, and Jennings could be the X factor, and it's be a lot of one-on-one with him, I'm telling you. So he don't be surprised if he actually catches more passes than any receiver in this game on a 49ers offense, just because of all the attention everybody else is going to get. He gets some one-on-ones. He can make some stuff happen. I'm going to call it here. He's going to score a touchdown in the Super Bowl. You watch it, I tell you. He's going to score a touchdown. But, yeah, like I said, at first you didn't really hear much about him, but when Deebo went down, he came in. And he played pretty well. He played actually pretty consistent. So I think he's going to be a factor in this Super Bowl.
Yeah, Juwan, definitely, as you said, Eric, he could be the X factor. I mean, so many impact players on the 49ers, but he definitely has a shot to stand out in the big one. We mentioned about Kyle Juszczyk earlier. We got to talk about George Kittle. I mean, hey, we've got one tight end for one team, one great tight end on one team going up against another great tight end on another team. And man, George Kittle, not one of the most colorful players, one of the most colorful personalities in the league, and somebody, man, you need him to run block, he can do it. Need somebody to catch, hey, he can do that too. Just give me your thoughts on George Kittle in his season.
A monster, just a defensive nightmare. You can't put a linebacker on him because that's not going to work. You know, a safety, not going to work. Cornerback, too small. The only one that can hurt him is himself. That's dropping the ball or running the wrong route. Otherwise, he should be dominating, and he will. He's hungry. His last Super Bowl he lost was against Kansas City, and he said if he ever got back there, he's going to show out. So he's got a chip on his shoulder going into this game, and he's going to do everything in his power to see if Frisco can get this win. So he's definitely going to be rowdy, a lot of emotions. Hopefully they don't get the best of him. Hopefully he could just relax and set in. But, yeah, I don't want to go one-on-one with Kittle. I really don't. Try and tackle that dude. I mean, I call him the wild man. He's going to be an X factor in this game. I mean, Kansas, 49ers are just, man, loaded on offense. And definitely got to look out for him. You don't want to leave him one-on-one with no cornerback or anybody. You're going to have to probably chip him at the line, try to knock him off his route a little bit. They got to do something, but you don't want to let him get too hot because he will wreck a game.
Man, you're absolutely right. George Kittle is a player, Eric, that could definitely make a difference in more ways than one, and he's been doing that since he's been at the tight end position with the San Francisco 49ers. Speaking of a player that's made a difference, wherever you put him at wide receiver, he gets it done. You put him at running back, he gets it done. He gets it done as a blocker as well. Deebo Samuel, I mean, he's Mr. Everything to the 49ers. Give me your thoughts on Deebo and his season.
yeah, you put him in receiver, running back, or wherever you want to put him, he's going to produce. But special teams, they put him back there as a kick returner or a punt returner. He could take it to the distance as well. He can throw the ball pretty well, too. I've seen him a couple of times throw the ball. He's got a nice little throw on him. But, man, his biggest play is you got to game tackle him. You can't try to tackle him one-on-one. He's a tough dude to tackle. There's a reason he's called Debo, you know, off of Friday. That's where he gets the name from. So he's got that mentality, too, the way he could run over and bully anybody. So, yeah, you're going to have to game tackle this dude. Take him out by the legs. Do not go head up with him. But in the same notion, Debo's got to also realize, don't get hurt, man. Don't go get knocked out with a concussion. Don't hurt your shoulder. If you catch the ball and you get some good yards, man, it's okay to get down sometimes. Now, 2 minutes left in the game, you need to score and to win. Yeah, then you go all out. But pace yourself a little bit. They're going to need him for four quarters. So hopefully he can stay healthy in this game and not get banged up too much because of his violent type of play, because he don't like the good tackle. He likes to run people over. So it's going to be interesting to see how he plays out in this game.
Man, you're absolutely right, Eric. I mean, Debo Samuel is just so physical, and he likes that contact, and certainly the Chiefs' defense are going to have their hands full with him in this game. And speaking of somebody that's an impact player, we talked about Kittle and Debo, and, of course, we mentioned Brock. We got to talk about Christian McCaffrey, right? When the San Francisco 49ers landed him in that big trade less than 2 years ago, it's been money for the 49ers, man. That offense just went a whole nother level. They went to another dimension, bruh, with Christian McCaffrey at the running back position. As they say, bad for Carolina, but great for San Francisco. Give me your thoughts on Christian and his season.
My opinion, when Carolina traded Christian McCaffrey, they should have fired the coach. They should have fired the general manager. They should have fired the offensive line coach. They should have kicked. They should have cut the kicker. They should have kicked the team out of town. They should have took the owner and took him away from the team. They should have destroyed the stadium. They should have ripped up the locker rooms. That was the dumbest trade I've ever seen in football. There's no reason they should have traded McCaffrey. I can understand DJ Moore. I could understand some stuff. Man, that was their Barry Sanders. That's like Detroit trading Barry Sanders. That don't happen. That's like Walter Payton being traded. Look what he's doing for this team. This dude had over 20 touchdowns this year. He came to Frisco last year, I think at week 7 or 8, and still scored 10 touchdowns for him. He is just, man, dynamite out the backfield. You cannot put somebody on. You cannot lose him anytime he's on the field. You see what he did against Detroit. He scored them 2 touchdowns. One of them runs, man, he just made it through the line of scrimmage. And that was it. As soon as he gets in the second level, you're not catching him. And he could catch like a wide receiver. And like you said, he could pick up blocks. He could probably even throw that ball. And when Frisco landed him, that made this team so much dangerous. It's insane how they landed him. I mean, I guarantee you, they're all running backs coach for that team every night. When he goes to bed, he puts a picture of Christian McCaffrey under that pillow. He's smiling in his sleep. Because you land somebody like that with a team you already have, usually some of these big-time players get traded to teams who are struggling, who aren't doing so well. This dude got traded to a team that has one of the best defense, great receiving core, great tight end, good coaching, and they land Christian McCaffrey for pretty much little to nothing. My God, I still to this day don't know how that happens. But he's another X factor on this 49ers team. And he could easily put up 3 touchdowns, 100 yards receiving, 100 yards rushing, like nothing. So, and he needs to stay healthy as well. You know, he runs violent too. So, if they can stay healthy, they're going to be something to be reckoned with. They just can't beat themselves. And if Christian McCaffrey gets 20 touches in this game, he's getting 3 touchdowns easily. So, yeah, probably the best back in the Super Bowl coming up. I know Kansas got a good running back. Kansas City got a good running back. But Chris McCaffrey, man, that's crazy how they landed him. And when they landed him, I knew for sure he was going to be a problem. So now Kansas City's problem.
Bro, you said everything. You hit everything You hit the nail on the head when it comes to Christian McCaffrey, a game changer and can make a world of difference, not just on an offense, but on a team. And he's done that since he's arrived in San Francisco in such a short amount of time. He has made a huge difference for that team. And speaking of making a huge difference on the offensive line, Trent Williams, Eric, we know about his days with Washington. We know about him since he's been with the 49ers. Not only a talented offensive lineman for that team, but just could go down as one of the greats in the history of the league. Just give me your thoughts on Trent and his season.
No, another great year. First ballot Hall of Famer. This Super Bowl is just going to put the icing on the cake if they could win it. But, you know, he had so many years struggling with the Commanders, Washington, and he played great for them, but he just, you know, that team struggled so much. So now he's with the Niners, and he's playing, I think, better this year than he played in his career. He's like, he's getting better, and that's scary. And when you got a running back like Christian McCaffrey back there, you want to play that much better because you know you're getting that same effort from him, Christian McCaffrey, you know. So, yeah, man, Williams, first ballot Hall of Famer. I think he's 10, 11-time Pro Bowler. I think he's 4- or 5-time All-Pro. Might be getting a championship, you know, ring. See how this turns out on Sunday. But, yeah, no doubt, one of the greatest to ever play that position.
Yeah, man. Trent Williams, as you said, bro, he's definitely going to be a first ballot Hall of Famer. What he's done in his career, his time in Washington and currently with San Francisco, bro, he definitely has a shot of raising that Lombardi Trophy. I want to switch over now to the defensive side. There's a couple of names that I want to mention on the defensive line. And if you have anything you want to say about these gentlemen, you're welcome to do so. Arik Armstead, Javon Hargrave, Javon Kinlaw, and Chase Young. All Star Wars on the defensive line. These dudes have given offensive linemen headaches for really much of the year. Anything you want to say about these gentlemen?
Every name you named is spectacular, except Chase Young. I think they should cut him. I don't see no effort from this dude. And the way he was drafted and the way he's producing is horrible. I'm going to be surprised if you don't see him in this game too much. I'm just being honest. His effort ain't there. I seen a play against Green Bay where the running back ran past him and he ain't even try to run after him. He just jogged, and I'm thinking to myself, dude, he ain't even looking. If you come from his left side, he might be able to cause a fumble because he ain't even no effort at all for it. And yeah, but Armstead, oh man, definitely one of the most talented defensive linemen. And you got Bolsey as well, Nick Bolsey. So yeah, that's a good line right there. They're gonna have to definitely Kansas City. I'm speaking, gonna have to protect Patrick because these guys can get after you. They definitely can get after you. So you're gonna have to get rid of that football. Maybe move the pocket a little bit. Maybe some draw plays also might hurt the Frisco because they pursue so much that a draw play they could be over pursued and a draw play could break for a good run. So, but solid defensive line.
Yeah, absolutely, bro. As you said, they could give Mahomes fits and the Chiefs offensive line to have their work cut out for them. And one defensive lineman, you mentioned his name, Nick Bosa. I mean, listen, Eric, Nick is at the peak of his powers right now. We talk about the great defensive players in the league, like a T.J. Watt and an Aaron Donald and a Chris Jones. But you got to put Nick Bosa in the mix as well. Give me your thoughts on Nick and his season.
Another great year. I would say his motor never stops. He's at 100 miles an hour every second. And they're going to have to put a running back over there too, maybe do a little chip block on him. Even maybe let Kittle do a little blocking. I'm sorry, Travis Kelce do a little blocking. Cause I don't know if they're going to take him one-on-one. He's definitely a different beast. It's in his blood. It's in his DNA to wreck quarterbacks. And they're definitely going to have to keep him blocked. If not, he's going to be in the backfield as much as the running back.
Yeah, man, Nick Bosa has an opportunity to disrupt the plans of the Chiefs offense, man. Certainly got his that offensive line's got their work cut out for them. All right, Eric, briefly, I want to bring up a couple of the linebackers that were very effective this year. Dre Greenlaw, and Fred Warner. Dre Greenlaw, again, a solid year for him this year. Got involved into a little skirmish in the Eagles game with Big Dom, the Eagles security guard. But Dre Greenlaw, he came up big in the Green Bay game, getting the interception. And then Fred Warner. Listen, Fred Warner is a tackling machine. I mean, he's what a linebacker is all about. Just give me your thoughts and anything you have to say about those gentlemen.
Yeah, very productive. You know, Warner, I think, is the best, probably the best linebacker in the game right now. I'm just being honest. He's always all over the field, like you said, a tackling machine, and he could catch good too. So don't think if he's on a tight end or if he's in the middle and you don't see him and throw the ball, he'll pick it. Greenwald too. He's a beast. He don't miss tackles. That's one thing about this linebacking core with the 49ers. They don't miss tackles. They definitely they get their hands on you. You're probably getting tackled at that spot. So yeah, very good linebacking core, no doubt. And Warner just he leads the way as the linebacker for him. He's the brain of that defense all together. He keeps that defense going. He is definitely a very, very important piece to that puzzle. So they're going to have their hands full trying to stop them dudes from getting to the running backs and getting to Patrick Mahomes.
Yeah, you're absolutely right about Dre and Fred. Let's move over to the defensive backs. A couple of guys that I want to mention, Diamador Lenore and Charvarius Ward. Charvarius Ward, a pro bowler, solid job this year. Diamador Lenore, solid job for him. Those guys, those two gentlemen were kind of leading the way for the defensive backs. Just anything you would want to say about those two gentlemen?
I'm not saying that they're the weakest part of the team. I'm just talking the secondary as a whole. I think that is the weak point of the 49ers. If you look against Green Bay, They gave up some big plays, and Detroit was shredding them. They were shredding them. But, you know, they caught on later on and got lucky, like you said, with some interceptions against Green Bay. They had that interception at the end, but that was a linebacker who did that. But, yeah, they're going to have to lock down, because thing about Kansas City is there's no one receiver no more. You know, anybody could put up big numbers at any time. So it ain't, oh, we got to lock down, you know, Tyreek Hill or Sammy Watkins. They're not there, so they're gonna have to be on everybody, because Mahomes is gonna find whoever's open. So it's gonna be a challenge for them on Sunday.
Yeah, man, you're absolutely right, man. The San Francisco, like you said, if there was any weak spot in the 49ers defense, it was that secondary, man. And if Patrick gets enough time, man, who is going to be a long day? Because Patrick could carve that secondary up like a Thanksgiving turkey. Mm. But, yeah, that's the 49ers offense and defense. And we got to bring up the coach, Kyle Shanahan. Now, Eric, listen, he's done in my opinion, he's done a fantastic job with the squad. He's taken them to an appearance in the big game. They fell short to the Chiefs. Just give me your thoughts on Coach Shanahan and his season.
No doubt, another great year as a coach. You know, he's still a young coach, but he's done a lot of coaching in his league. If you're getting, you know, I forget who his dad is, you know, won a couple of Super Bowls himself with Denver, you know, Mike Shanahan. So, yeah, he's definitely got the experience. He's gonna have his team ready to play. You know, he's been lost the Super Bowl, so he's looking to get into the winning column to get him a championship. So he's gonna pull out all the stops.
One more question about Coach Shanahan. Eric, Kyle was the offensive coordinator for the Atlanta Falcons when they were in the big one against the New England Patriots. The whole 28-3, we know how that turned out. Tom and the crew, Brady and company, handled their business. I got to ask you, if the 49ers beat the Chiefs in this one, do you think that will erase the memory of 28-3, or do you think it'll be a little bit easier to kind of digest, or what's your thoughts on that?
I mean, I think anytime you lose a Super Bowl, it's always going to haunt you. pretty sure you asked Tom Brady the three he lost, he probably is going to say, yeah, it still hurts to know that you lost him. But the way he lost that, went up 28-3, wow, and wound up losing. But don't take away his greatness and his play calling and the way he approaches games. So, you know, then he, you know, he loses that one. Then he loses his first head coaching Super Bowl appearance against this very team and lost that one. So he 0-2 in Super Bowls as a head coach and a offensive coordinator. So now it's the heat's on now. He's got to get this win on Sunday. If not, he'd be 0-3 in Super Bowls. So yeah, but I'm pretty sure it still stings. He still thinks about it. He could probably go on to win three Super Bowls like Andy Reid. I guarantee you that Philly lost against New England still hurts him. Tom Brady came back and got him again when he was with Tampa. So, you know, in the Super Bowl when Tampa beat Kansas City a few years back. So, but, yeah, I'm pretty sure it still hurts him. But he's I think he's going to come in here with a different mindset.
Yeah, absolutely. I know Shanahan would love his opportunity to get that first Lombardi trophy, and that takes care of the San Francisco 49ers. So, Eric, let's move over now to the AFC champion, Kansas City Chiefs. Having a chance to repeat, to go back-to-back for the first time in a long time. And they have a chance to be the first team to repeat as champs since the New England Patriots did it in 2003 and 2004. And the first team that went 3 out of 5 championships since the Patriots did it in 2014, 2016, and 2018. So the Chiefs, a lot of stars on the team. I want to start off talking about the running back for a moment. Isaiah Pacheco, we talked about Christian McCaffrey and what he brings to the table. Isaiah Pacheco is tough as they come. You know, Isaiah gets it done catching it out the backfield. You can get him running, whether it be with the speed or the tough yards. Give me your thoughts on Isaiah in his season.
Yeah, he's definitely a physical runner. And that, my opinion, I think that's going to hurt him in this game. I think he tries to run too hard, too much. I think, you know, he gets into the pile. He's constantly trying to get another 2 yards, and 49ers are going to rip at that ball. Don't be surprised if Pacheco don't fumble in this game a few times. I think he might fumble twice in this game just because he don't want to get down. And sometimes it's best just to get what you can get and get down. But he's such a physical runner, he's not going to do that. So hopefully he can hold on to that ball, because they're going to come stripping that ball out knowing that he's running so physical, and they're going to gang tackle him, and somebody's going to hold him, and he's going to try to keep running and going to rip that ball out, man. But definitely at the goal line, he's good. He's a shoe-in for a touchdown from the one. He's just that physical of a runner. He's going to push the pile. So I think he's going to have a productive game. I just think he's going to put the ball on the field a few times, I think.
All right, definitely Isaiah looking to try to make a difference in the big one. And speaking of making a difference, we've seen, Eric, throughout the course of this season in short yardage situations, Clyde Edwards-Helaire get some action, 3rd-and-1, 4th-and-1 situations. Give me your thoughts on Clyde, and also do you think he'll have an opportunity to cash in on short yardage situations?
I honestly think he's going to be involved in the game plan on Sunday. I think he's going to get a couple of more carries than he usually gets. I think he's going to get a couple of more catches than he usually gets. You know, this is it. It's Super Bowl. It's win or go home. It's become a champion. You got to pull out all stops. And I think Clyde Edwards-Helaire at least earned that right to at least have some kind of part in the Super Bowl, because you don't want to just keep relying on Pacheco. Like I said, he's a good back, but you want to keep him fresh all 4 quarters. And to do that, but put Clyde in there a little bit. He's a physical, good runner, good speed, good receiver, good blocker. You know, I just think Pacheco outperformed him is why he's not the starter, but he's still a player who could make a difference. So don't be surprised if he don't get some calls out there and maybe touch the ball 2-3 times a quarter. You know, that's 8-9 touches in the game. Anything could happen with it. You know, he could break any catch or any run at any time. He's a really good running back. So I won't be surprised if he's not involved in this game somehow.
Yeah, definitely. Clyde definitely has an opportunity to make an impact in this game. Now, Eric, a position that has been the Achilles heel throughout the course of this season for the Kansas City Chiefs is the wide receiver position. Mecole Hardman, Sky Moore, Justin Ross, and Justin Watson all were shaky this year. They had their issues. Any thoughts that you may have on these gentlemen?
Yeah, definitely going to touch on these receivers, but I also want to bring note that Jerick McKinnon will be active in this game too. He's been injured, I think, since like week 11. He will be back in the game, so he's going to also get on the field, and he's going to make some plays too out the backfield. I heard that the other day that he's practicing, and he looks like he's going to go, so they're going to have another weapon in the backfield. But the receiving core, if these guys could just catch the ball, they're open. They run great routes. They're really good, great route runners, and they could just catch the ball. I mean, they could have a really, really good outing, but they got to catch this ball, and they're going up against one of the most physical defenses. So it's going to be hard for them to catch the ball anyway, any team, but when you're facing a team who has the cases of the drops, it definitely don't help that you're going up against a physical defense. So they could just catch the ball. They're going to put up numbers, and Patrick Mahomes will win MVP. And to do that, they need to work on their craft. They need to work on the ball jugs. They need to catch routes. They need to do anything they can do to make plays. And I remember back in the 80s, the 49ers, it was raining real bad for the Super Bowl. And the offensive line wasn't doing too great. But Bill Walsh said, we have to work on blocking. Let's meet me in the lobby, move them desk out the way, move this chair out the way, move that lamp. We're going right here in the lobby, line up. And everybody looked around like, what? No, line up. We practicing. We're going to get this craft down. And that's what they did. They practiced for 3 hours in the lobby inside the hotel and worked on that. And come Super Bowl, flawless performance. So you got to work on your craft no matter, even though it's Super Bowl, got to work on your craft. You can never not. There's a reason why Randy Moss, after practice, caught 100 one-handers after every practice. Even though he's catching one hand every game, he still worked on his craft. Jerry Rice was the greatest route runner in the game. After practice, he ran 50 routes after practice to make sure he's running his routes like they should be ran. And that's what Kansas City has to do. For them receivers to be good, they got to work on their craft regardless. If they think, well, I think we're good. No, there's no think. It's Super Bowl. This ain't no best of seven. This ain't the NBA. Same baseball. One game, one shot, four quarters. Just ball out. And if they catch the football like they should, they're gonna put up some points.
Bro, you brought up some key factors with the wide receivers, and especially you had a blast from the past with head coach Bill Walsh. Rest in peace, Coach Walsh, man. He did not play, and certainly he wanted his receivers to be ready. You mentioned also about Randy Moss, and certainly that's what this game is all about, the NFL. You know, one game, there is no best of five or best of seven. You got to handle your business on that one day. And when you don't handle your business, it is a long off season, man, a lot to think about. And those receivers definitely have to handle their business. I want to stay just with the receivers for a moment. I want to talk about Justin Watson. Despite the receivers having their troubles this year for the Chiefs, Justin Watson came through in some clutch moments for the offense. Anything you want to say about Justin?
Yeah, just work on his craft too. Keep doing what he's doing. It seemed like Patrick Mahomes started leaning towards him a little bit, started giving a little bit more trust. I noticed he targeted him three straight times. I believe it was the Green Bay game. Three straight targets to him, and out them three, he caught two. So that's once you earn Patrick Mahomes' trust, well, he's going to look for you. So, yeah, definitely Justin Watson, he's going to have a big game. He's going to have to – he may have to be that dude. You know, like I said, there's no Tyreek Hill, no Sammy Watkins. Somebody's got to step up in this receiving corps so Patrick Mahomes will know 3rd and 8, I know where I'm going with this football because he's been consistent this whole game. That's what you need, and that's what you got to do. So, yeah, Watson definitely could have a big game. He could definitely put up some big numbers.
Yeah, but Justin, we talk about X factors, and you mentioned it with San Francisco. We talked about it with Kittle and McCaffrey and Debo, and even with X factors like Brandon Ayuk and Juwan Jennings, Justin Watson could be the one of the ones for Kansas City. Another receiver I want to mention, Eric, is Marquez Valdez-Scantling. Again, the receivers have had their troubles. Remember the Monday night game this year against the Philadelphia Eagles? MVS couldn't hold on to the ball. He dropped an important pass, but he definitely made up for it towards the end of the season, and especially in the AFC Championship game, making some key plays against the Baltimore Ravens. Any words you have about MVS?
Man, he's just too inconsistent for me. That's why he's not with Green Bay anymore. I just think he's inconsistent. If he could step up his game, I'm not saying he's not going to be a factor, but he's going to have to be consistent in this game. He can't drop a 3rd-and-8. He can't run the wrong route. He can't not get open. He can't get pressed. He's going to have to run and get open and then catch the ball. He's going to have to. And I think he might be the deep threat in this game. I think they're going to go to him deep a few times. Seems like he does a lot of his best stuff down the field. So, man, if he can hold on to the ball and get off that press and get open, he could be effective too. Like I said, this receiving core with Kansas City, anybody could be effective. They get open, Mahomes will find you. So MVS is just going to have to stick it out and play the best game of his life. That's what they're going to have to do. All these receivers have to play the best game of their life to beat that defense of Frisco.
All right, and one last another wide receiver I want to mention is Kadarius Toney. Let's just say, Eric, Kadarius has he's gotten attention this season for all of the wrong reasons, just saying things about Andy Reid and, you know, kind of going off the deep end on certain things. Anything you want to say about Kadarius?
My thing is, clear your mind, throw all that aside as if it never happened, and go into this game with that beast mentality that I'm here to win a Super Bowl. I know I said some stuff in the past. I lined up on offsides on a touchdown against Buffalo that would have won the game. You need to put that aside, come into this one game for 4 quarters and give it your all. And get your world championship. And I'm pretty sure if that happens, everything else could be forgotten. Championships seem to heal a lot of things. So he's got a clean slate on Sunday, in my opinion, in my book. None of that what he said bothers me. I just want to see him produce. Stay healthy. Don't get hurt. Go home to his family after the game. Nice, healthy person. But go home with a championship. So, yeah, he's going to have to ball out too.
Yeah, as you said, Eric, you know, winning is a cure-all for everything. Hopefully the Chiefs, knock on wood, everything works out. It'll all be forgotten, and Kadarius would be a champion. And one last wide receiver, Rashee Rice. Eric, you mentioned Tyreek Hill earlier, and Rashee Rice has really stepped into his own this season as an important part of the Chiefs' offense, despite the receivers having their issues. The one bright spot was Rashee Rice. Anything you have to say about Rashee?
I think he's going to be their problem. I think his short route running is crazy. When he gets the ball in his hand, he makes a lot of plays. And it's going to be funny because for many of Super Bowls, the 49ers was cheering to Rice, yelling, "Go Rice." On Sunday, they're not going to be cheering, "Go Rice." They're going to be cheering, "Stop Rice." So get on him, double if they have to, chip him, edge him, do what they need to do. But he's probably the most consistent receiver on that team, in my opinion. In the last month of the season, he was really coming on strong. So he knows what to do. And that last name, Rice, might be hearing some more Rice touchdowns in the Super Bowl like Frisco of the past.
Yeah, strong possibility right there. Rashee definitely has the opportunity to make some things happen. We'll get into other positions on the offense in just a moment. I want to get to offensive line specifically. Creed Humphrey, what a solid year that he had this year. Creed Humphrey, also Nick Allegretti, Joe Tooney. Those were really the guys that really made the difference on the offensive line. Anything that you want to say about those gentlemen?
They're going to be the difference in this game. They got their work cut out for them against probably the best defensive line in the game, plus some good linebackers, plus blitzing safeties, plus blitzing cornerbacks. It's going to be it's going to be a task for them on Sunday. They're going to have to play some good football, and Patrick's going to have to help too. He's going to have to, if he has to, get rid of the ball faster, look at the defense a little bit better, audible, look at the cadence, see what he needs to do to help them, because the 49ers are good defense, and that offensive line's pretty decent. They're going to have to play very, very good on Sunday just to keep Patrick Mahomes upright and keep him in the pocket. Maybe even some of the play calls, maybe to move the pocket a little bit, you know, get him out of that center fold of where all the chaos could happen. Get him outside a little bit where you see the field a little bit better. But the good running game could help that too. Run the ball physically, run the ball well could also help that offensive line, because they probably won't blitz as much or send linebackers as much if they're running well, because they're going to have to figure to stop the run too. They can't just go after the quarterback. So, yeah, they're going to have a good game. It's going to start with that offensive line. Everything we talk about, Kansas City, receivers playing well, Mahomes playing well, running game playing well, that offensive line has to play great. So we're going to see what happens on Sunday with it.
You're right about that, which you just mentioned about the offensive line. I want to move over to the defensive line now. George Karlaftis, Eric, in such a short amount of time, he has become an impact player for the Chiefs defense. George has been in the NFL for only a short amount of time, but, man, he's been really an underrated defensive lineman. Give me your thoughts on George.
Hey, he brings back the memories of 56 of old, Pat Swillen. Lawrence Taylor, every time I see that 56, I think of them dudes. And he's quick coming off the line, great tackler, good run stopper. I like that a lot with him. He don't always over pursue. It's like he's expecting to see if there's going to be a run, and if there's not a run, he's 100% to the quarterback. But he's going to have to get up, get gone. He's going to have to get on Purdy. He's going to have to do whatever he can do to stop McCaffrey. Yeah, his work's going to be cut out for him on Sunday. But, hey, I think he's turned out to be one of the good players of the league. Eventually, maybe one day, say one of the greats. But right now, he's still making his name. Playing good on Sunday, capturing the championship, definitely put his name up a little higher.
Absolutely. You know, George has got an opportunity to make things happen in the big game. And speaking of a big game and disrupting the atmosphere, Eric, on San Francisco side, we mentioned Nick Bosa, Arik Armstead, Javon Hargrave, just to name a few. The Kansas City Chiefs, they got Chris Jones. Chris Jones, one of the best defensive linemen in the league. I mean, Chris Jones is definitely at the peak of his powers right now. Give me your thoughts on Chris.
The only knock I got against Chris Jones was week one when Kansas City opened up the season against Detroit. He's up in the stands in street clothes watching the game. And I was like, look, you shouldn't even came out there. You should have stayed home. You know, I didn't like that at all. If you're going to be there with your team, be out there on the field. If not, stay home. He ain't signed his contract. He's up there watching his team lose. That still aggravates me to this day. I didn't like that. But he came in. He signed. He's playing great. He's going to have to play great this game. He's going to have to, just like you said about 56 over there, 95 is going to have to produce too. He's going to have some double teams. They're going to be some chips on him. They're going to try to do everything they can to stop him from getting a Purdy. I got him with 2 sacks in this game and a forced fumble, so I think he's going to have a heck of a game. He's going to need to.
Yeah, Chris is going to have the game of his life, man. He's been disrupting a lot of defenses, a lot of offensive lines for much of the year, man. He's definitely going to have the game of his life in the big one. A couple of names I want to mention, Eric, on the linebacker side. Nick Bolton, also Willie Gay, Drew Tranquil, and also Leo Chenault. Do you have any thoughts for any of those linebackers?
Good little linebacking core, but the engine to them linebackers is Nick Bolton, number 32. Watch him. He is the engine to that linebacker core. He's a really good linebacker, got great instincts. He should have a monster game. I think he's going to lead the team in tackles. But, yeah, he's definitely a ball hawk. He'll intercept. He'll strip the ball. Yeah, he's the truth right there. I think he's the best linebacker on that team. Nick Bolton, he's a very physical linebacker. And when he was hurt for a few games, it affected him. So he comes into this game, stay healthy. He's going to have a good Super Bowl. And like I said, I think he's going to lead the team in tackles. So Nick Bolton is definitely, no doubt, best linebacker on that team.
Yeah, Nick has definitely been a difference maker, not just on the linebacker core, but for the defense. He's got a chance to make some stuff happen in the big one. A couple of names I want to mention on the defensive for the in the secondary for the defensive backs: Justin Reed, Trent McDuffie, Shamari Connor, also Jalen Watson, and particularly Lajarius Sneed. Any thoughts you have on those for those gentlemen?
They need to shape up on their tackling, because I'm going to tell you now, there are going to be some plays out there in that secondary. They're going to have to make a tackle. Whether it's Christian McCaffrey, Deebo Samuel, they're going to have to make tackles. They could tackle well, press good at the line of scrimmage, and don't give the yak yards, I think. Once, you know, the receiver, whomever catches the ball, you got to make the tackle where they catch it. Do not let them break a tackle and turn that 6-yard slant into a 20-yard gain. So, no doubt, but I think Sneed, I think he should be a factor big time in that secondary. I think he might even come out with an interception. So, and Reed as well. So it's going to be interesting. They got their work cut out for them, but they're going to have to tackle well. They're definitely going to have to tackle well. They can't let that yak yards beat them.
You're absolutely right about that. That secondary is going to have their hands full with those 49ers receivers and that tight end named George Kittle. He's pretty good, so we'll have to see what happens in the big one. Speaking of big one, you know, Eric, there's some great kickers in the NFL. Justin Tucker from the Baltimore Ravens, and we got another great one with Harrison Butker from the Kansas City Chiefs. Any words you have about Harrison?
Major weapon. You know you got points if you get past that 50. You almost guarantee points, and that's always a good thing, knowing you could at least walk away with three. If it's a 60-yard, a lot of teams like, yeah, let's just punt it away. No, when you got him, it's always a possibility he'll boot it through. Looks to be having a Hall of Fame career, in my opinion. I don't think he's quite there yet. He is knocking at the door. A great performance on Sunday and another Super Bowl championship. He's kicking the door in. So, yeah, he's a big weapon. He is definitely a big weapon. You know you can get points. Every drive, you know you can at least end with points if you pass the 50 with a kicker like that. So be looking for him to be very, I think, accurate in this game. He's kicked in Super Bowls before, so it's nothing secret to him. So I think he'll have a good game.
Yeah, Harrison Butker definitely at the peak of his powers right now, one of the top kickers in the NFL. All right, Eric, let's get back to the offensive side. We mentioned a great tight end in George Kittle. We have to mention the other tight end on the other team, the Kansas City Chiefs, Mr. Travis Kelce. I mean, what more can you say about him, right? Since he's arrived in Kansas City, he's been automatic. When Alex Smith was the quarterback, he had some solid seasons with Alex. Big ups to Alex. But when Patrick Mahomes became the starting quarterback, I mean, he really raised his game to another level. Give me your thoughts on Mr. Kelce and his season.
He had a great season. I think this is probably the season where he dropped more balls than any other season. Can't do that on Sunday. You cannot drop any balls. Any ball hits his hands, he's got to catch them. And I think he will. I think he'll have a really good performance on Sunday. I think he'll get open. I think he'll pick up some of that blitz a little bit, chip a little bit, do what he needs to do. Do some of the dirty work, I might say, to help out that offense and give Patrick Mahomes just a little bit more time to get rid of the football. But, yeah, we're going to see some great tight end playing this game. It's going to be amazing. Kittle, Kelce, too. I think Kelce's already a Hall of Famer. Kittle, once again, I don't like throwing that Hall of Fame word around loosely. I don't think he's there yet. He's kicking the door in. He's getting there. He's in the right path. 3-4 more years of the way he's playing now in the Super Bowl on Sunday, no doubt he'll be a Hall of Famer. I'm talking Kittle. Travis Kelce's, in my opinion, already a Hall of Famer. This dude's put up crazy numbers. He's got Super Bowls. He's done it all. And this just adds more icing to the cake. So I think Travis Kelce is going to have a really, really good game. I think he's going to have upwards 11, 12 receptions.
I want to stay with Mr. Kelce for a moment. I got to ask you, when you saw the news of Travis being involved with a big time pop star, did you think that it was going to cause bad blood between him and not just Chiefs fans, but football fans in terms of him being distracted?
No, I never thought that. I mean, he's a somewhat of a celebrity, and what he does in his personal life and his love life, I think, is different from what he does on the field. You know, I don't discourage him for doing it. If he loves, you know, I don't know what, if they're in love, I don't know what their future holds. As of right now, they're together. I'm just interested to see what's going to happen when the season's over and she ain't traveling to the games and all, and it's just them living life, you know. But, I mean, kudos to him. If they go on to have a good life, get married and have kids, more power to them. I don't think it's a distraction for him in the game at all. I really don't. And like I said, I'm not going to hate on him for falling for Taylor Swift. I think that's their prerogative outside of football. That's his personal life. I don't think he should have anything to do with the NFL. And people keep saying, oh, look, Taylor Swift's taking up the camera again. Hey, she's not controlling that camera. They're putting it on her. I mean, it's not her controlling the camera. It's the cameraman. So, no, I don't really care much about it at all. If he stays healthy and plays good football, should not have no problem with what he does in his personal life. You know, he does have to have a social life. It just so happens to be with the biggest singer in the world today. So hopefully it all works out.
One thing is for sure, Travis Kelce is enjoying the high life right now. It's been an amazing year for him thus far. And now, Eric, we talk about amazing. We talk about dynamite. We talk about dynamic, right? Brady, Montana, Bradshaw, Aikman, Young, just to name a few. Those gentlemen have won Super Bowls. And Patrick Mahomes, he's won his share of a couple of Lombardi trophies, and he's looking to add more to the trophy case. I mean, Eric, we're watching a master at work. I think he hasn't even hit his prime yet, if you want me to be honest. But Patrick, it was a tough year for him, but he made it through somehow, some way. Give me your thoughts on Patrick.
When his career is all over, it's all said and done, I think he'll be the greatest to play the game. What he's done in the time, the 6 years he's played, every year in the AFC Championship game or the Super Bowl every year. Man, you can never go against Mahomes, man. He plays on another level. And the crazy part is they struggled this year. Receiving corps struggled this year. Running back struggled. And he still put up great numbers. So what happens in this offseason if they go out and they go get some of these free agent receivers to give him some weapons? And I'm not going to get into that too much because that's a different show at a different time. But I'm just saying, look how he played without the Tyreek Hills, without the Sammy Watkins, and he's still throwing to a lot of receivers people still don't even know. You name what colleges some of these receivers went to, people can't name it. But he's made it work. And I think he's going to make it work in the Super Bowl because he's playing out of his mind. I've never seen a quarterback play like this unless they're in like their 10th, 11th year of their career. This dude was doing this in his second and third year. It's crazy what he can do. He is phenomenal. Go down as one of the great. He's a first ballot Hall of Famer today. If he decided to retire today, I'm not playing in the Super Bowl Sunday, I'm retired. First ballot Hall of Famer. I promise you. So, wow. When you see somebody like this, you got to cherish instead. You got to enjoy this. Like, you know, the Montanas, like you said, the Montanas, Bart Starr of the first two Super Bowls, you know, your Johnny Unitas, the Breezes, Peyton Manning, Tom Brady, because it's here, then it's gone. And you just want to, watch Sunday and you want to watch Patrick Mahomes and you just want to appreciate this dude and what he does for this league and what he does for his team. It's greatness, and quarterbacks like this come not all the time. You have great quarterbacks, don't get me wrong, but the Dan Marinos, the Peyton Mannings, the Michael Vicks, the Randall Cunninghams, you don't always see that. That's not always, you know, Lamar Jackson's, and you got Lamar Jackson winning his MVP this year. Patrick's MVP last year. So he's MVP, Pro Bowler, two-time Super Bowl champ. And he's just—he's getting better. That's the crazy part. And he did this with a wide receiver core that really ain't all that good. Imagine what he could do with a good wide receiver core, and I think they're going to correct that. So he's going to be even more dangerous. But, man, yeah, Patrick Mahomes, oh my, unbelievable. Best quarterback in the game today. Probably going to be the greatest when he hangs him up. And that's probably 10 years from now. Look what he's done in 6 years. So watch him on Sunday and appreciate that, because you don't always see this. It's like sometimes once-in-a-lifetime talent.
Bro, you're absolutely right. I mean, we're definitely watching, as I stated earlier, we're watching a master at work right now. And Patrick Mahomes, man, he's just, it's only going to get better. And all you've said it, bro, it's only going to get better. And he's done so much in such a short amount of time. And the best is definitely going to get better for number 15. So we talked about 49ers head coach Kyle Shanahan. Let's talk now about Chiefs head coach Andy Reid. Listen, the track record speaks for itself for Coach Reid. So many seasons as the head coach of the Philadelphia Eagles, you know, NFC championship games, was successful in one, got to the big one, fell short, losing to Tom Brady, Bill Belichick, and the New England Patriots. So many consistent seasons in Philly, then heads to Kansas City, had a nice run with Alex Smith. Patrick Mahomes becomes the quarterback. Hey, we know how that turned out. So far, so good, right? So give me your thoughts on Coach Reid.
Genius, one of the top five coaches to ever coach in the NFL, first ballot Hall of Famer. And you just got to think, man, what if the year Patrick Mahomes got drafted, the Saints was going to take Patrick Mahomes. They were going to take him at, I think it was at 14. They were going to take him. Then all of a sudden, Kansas City trades up to 13, takes him. Wow. So, obviously, Andy Reid seen something, and he traded up and got him. So, what if he don't do that, and the Saints grabbed Patrick Mahomes? But it was meant to be. I think it's like Bill Walsh, Joe Montana, Bart Starr, Vince Lombardi, Bill Belichick, Tom Brady, Drew Brees, Sean Payton. They're clicking, and they're clicking at the right time. And he is a phenomenal coach, like you said, with Philly. Four straight NFC championship games, Super Bowl appearance. And look at this. This is his fifth straight AFC. I think he went to five straight AFC championship games. Now in the third Super Bowl with Kansas City. Or is this their fourth? Yeah, this is their fourth Super Bowl. So he's done been to five Super Bowls with two championships, looking for his third. So great coach, phenomenal coach, go down as one of the greatest coaches of all time, no doubt top five coach. I mean, he's definitely going into the Hall of Fame. And now who knows how many more years he may coach. You know, when you got somebody like Patrick Mahomes, that retirement creeps out your brain sometimes. You know, sometimes when you struggle, like Bill Belichick, struggling with New England with no Tom Brady, he's no longer there, and he's not even coaching right now. So he may be on his way to retiring. But when you got a young Patrick Mahomes, You might decide, I might stick around a few more years, and I think that's what's going to happen. So you ain't seen the last of this duel in the Super Bowl. But, yeah, man, Andy Reid, whoa, one of the greats of the game, one of the good people on the field and off the field. Andy Reid, no doubt, one of the greats.
Yeah, man, Andy Reid is up there, man, with that Mount Rushmore of coaches, man. And if he continues to go for a long period of time, hey, man, hey, greatness is still continue to be added, and kudos to Andy Reid for just being the model of consistency for the Kansas City Chiefs and just for head coaches in the NFL. All right, Eric, we're going to get more into the big game in just a little while, and we'll give picks and things of that nature. But I want to talk about something that's a part of the Super Bowl experience, and that's the whole cities. The Super Bowl, we know that it's all about the cities that host the games, and people have their opinions and their takes on who is the best Super Bowl host city. Now, Eric, we're going to be a little bit biased on this one because we're both proud natives of the great city of New Orleans, but I want you to just to tell the listeners, in your opinion, what makes New Orleans such a great Super Bowl host city?
Man, it's just everything that goes with it. You know, you come to the Superdome, the river's right there, the ships, you know, the Bourbon Street, Canal Street, just that the whole experience. You know, it's not a big city, so you could do everything you need to do. And, you know, you got originally, you know, a two-lane stadium, until 75 is where the Super Bowl was also hosted at. Then, you know, the Superdome, but just everything that goes with it. You know, they have the parades, they have the NFL experience at the convention center. It's just a fun time, and I think it's one of the best Super Bowl locations, and that's why it's coming back again next season because of that. So, yeah, definitely New Orleans. Like I said, I'm from here. I love it here, but there's a reason they host a record. I think they hosted more Super Bowls than any city. I could be wrong. I think if they didn't host it, they're right tied with it, though. I think they've hosted probably 6 or 7 Super Bowls. So there's a reason why they keep coming back here, because we know how to treat people. We know how to treat fans. We know how to show a good time and put on a great show, and that's what New Orleans has always been about and will continue to be about.
You're absolutely right, Eric, and just a little some side notes to pass along about the city of New Orleans. It's not a big, like, metropolis, but New Orleans definitely has the public transportation, the buses, the streetcars, you know, easy access. So, you know, you don't have a car, it's no problem at all. And then the venues are all in walking distance, so everything is tailor-made, not just for New Orleans to host the big event, but also to host major sporting events as well. Eric, currently you made a mention about New Orleans hosting the most games. Currently, next year in 2025, New Orleans will tie with the Miami metropolitan area, and then the greater Los Angeles area will have 9 because they will host it in 2027, and then followed by Tampa with 5. The Phoenix metropolitan area has 4, and then San Diego, Houston, and Atlanta have 3, and then followed by the Metro Detroit area, the San Francisco Bay Area, Minneapolis. They've all Metro Detroit and Minneapolis have hosted 2, and then the San Francisco Bay Area will have 3 because they'll host the big one in 2026. So, Eric, while we're on the topic of Super Bowl host cities, any other cities that you would like to mention that catches your eye in terms of solid Super Bowl host cities?
Well, you mentioned Detroit. You know, I know Montana won his first Super Bowl, the Silverdome in Pontiac, Michigan, when they beat Cincinnati, and that was such an iconic venue, man. I hate it when that left, but I understand why it did. So much iconic stuff happened there. In Miami, you know, of course, I swear, Saints won their first and only Super Bowl was in Miami. So, yeah, Miami also, of course, New Orleans. But, yeah, those three places really stick out to me a lot about the Super Bowl and what it brings to the cities.
I want to ask you about a couple of more host cities. What do you think about Los Angeles and Phoenix?
Los Angeles, I mean, I guess you can figure it's just Los Angeles. It seems like they just can't stick to one team, in my opinion. You know what I'm saying? The Raiders and the Chargers, the Rams, it's always something different over there. Arizona, not too familiar with what they do over there, but I think they hosted, what, one Super Bowl, you said? How many Arizona hosted?
The Phoenix metropolitan area, they've currently hosted 4.
Four, okay. Yeah, I mean, they went there 4 times, and I can't really remember what games was there, but seemed like they did a good job. It's like every city puts up their best, you know. Every city's going to put up their best foot forward to put on a good show, to show the appreciation to the NFL and to the NFL fans, because you got to realize how many fans travel, you know, to go see these games, and it's a lot of money thrown around, so you definitely want to make it a lasting memory, you know. So I would say, yeah, definitely those places.
I want to mention another city to you. How about Tampa? Are you familiar with Tampa being a Super Bowl host city?
Well, I know Tampa was the first NFL team to win the Super Bowl in their hometown in Tampa, when Tampa Bay did it with Tom Brady. So I know that sticks out in my mind. I guess that would always be something special because they hosted their home team. So, yeah, Tampa definitely got to be ranked right up there.
All right, one last city I want to mention, and we'll move on. San Diego. Now, we know the Chargers are in Los Angeles now, but San Diego – was always rated as an effective Super Bowl host city. Your thoughts on San Diego?
I agree, but man, it's hard to say. There's no team in San Diego right now. It's crazy not to hear the San Diego Chargers. I think there'll be a team there eventually again. I think they're going to bring another team back to San Diego. They're going to have to. Too many great names came from that city. You know, of course, they hosted Super Bowls, but you had the Kellen Winslows, the Dan Fouts, the Danian Thomason, you know, so hopefully they could get another team there and they could host a lot more Super Bowls and maybe even play in some.
All right, and that takes care of our discussion on Super Bowl host cities. All right, Eric, while another part of the Super Bowl experience is the halftime show. Michael Jackson, Diana Ross, oh my goodness, Aerosmith, NSYNC, U2, Justin Timberlake, Prince, Bruce Springsteen, Lady Gaga, Beyonce, Coldplay, just to name a few, Red Hot Chili Peppers, Shakira, Jennifer Lopez, Dr. Dre and Company, just to name a few, Rihanna, have all graced the Super Bowl halftime show. This year, we've got Usher, and this is expected to be a phenomenal Super Bowl halftime show. Your thoughts on Usher?
Oh, yeah, it's got no doubt potential to be one of the great halftime performances in halftime history. I think Michael Jackson's was number one in my opinion. And I also liked Katy Perry. She had a good one in The Weeknd, I thought was a good one. But, you know, Usher, he's gonna bring it. He's a very talented person on and off the stage. So I think he's going to put together a good performance. He's got enough hits to do it. He might even have a little company with him on stage. You know how sometimes they throw in a special guest here and there. So I'll be tuned in at the halftime show to see what Usher has to bring. I think he's gonna do well.
Yeah, I think Usher's gonna really rock the crowd in Las Vegas. A couple of things I want to ask you just about the Super Bowl halftime show. You mentioned that Michael Jackson is certainly rest in peace to the King of Pop. Are there any other acts that have graced the Super Bowl halftime show that were your favorites, ones that caught your eye?
Yeah, like I said, I liked the Katy Perry performance and Prince. I remember when he started singing Purple Rain, it started raining right when he started performing that at the halftime show. So, yeah, definitely Prince stood out in my mind. Rest in peace to Prince. And I did like the one with Aerosmith, Britney Spears, NSYNC, all them together. And I think Nelly as well so was in that performance. But, yeah, that was definitely a memorable one. And last year's wasn't too bad neither. And I think this year's might be just that much better.
Yeah, man. Again, earlier, Michael Jackson, he definitely rocked the crowd. And then also, too, rest in peace to Prince, man, just playing Purple Rain and the rain falling in Miami, man. That was truly a phenomenal Super Bowl halftime show. And it was a great one. Again, Justin Timberlake had a good one when the Super Bowl was in Minneapolis. That was a good one. Again, Lady Gaga rocked it when the Super Bowl was in Houston. That was fantastic as well. Bruno Mars, along with the Red Hot Chili Peppers, when the Super Bowl was at the Meadowlands in New Jersey, right outside of New York, and Beyonce, right? I mean, hey, Beyonce's Beyonce.
Janet
right?
Jackson.
And Janet Jackson, absolutely. Those two women, they did their thing with the Super Bowl halftime show. So it's just great, man. It's another part of the Super Bowl experience. And now we've covered that. Now let's get back to the business at hand. So, Eric, we got the big game, right? Brock Purdy, Patrick Mahomes, two effective quarterbacks. Do you think when it's all said and done, do you think that it's going to come down to the quarterbacks deciding the game, or do you think it's going to come down to the X factors?
It's going to come down to the quarterbacks. The quarterback that makes the most mistakes in this game is going to be the quarterback to lose this game. They're going to have to make their team better. You're just going to have to. Offensive line's going to have to do better. In order to do that, you got to get rid of the ball fast. If you see they got a run called and it looks like they're going to blitz, you might want to audible out into a quick screen or a quick pass because they're going to over-pursue. It's going to be a lot of tangibles involved in this. Consistent play, smart play is going to be the reason which quarterback wins the Super Bowl. I mean, you got the young Brock Purdy, you got the veteran in Patrick Mahomes. It's going to be a classic duel. Definitely going to it's going to come down to who has the ball last. So definitely it's going to come down to these two quarterbacks. They both going to have to play well.
Yeah, man. I mean, it's nothing like it. We saw it in last year's game with Jalen Hurts and Patrick Mahomes going down to the wire. I hope we get a good one with Patrick Mahomes and Brock Purdy going down to the wire. All right, Eric, now it's time for our picks. It's time for our picks. But before we get into the picks, I briefly want to kind of get back into the host city for this year's Super Bowl, and that's Las Vegas. Just give me your thoughts, if you have any, on Las Vegas hosting this year's big game.
Probably as fun as New Orleans. You know, you got the Vegas Strip. You got all the casinos. You got all the nightlife that comes with it. So looks like it could be a good time, man. It could be a bad time. So just have your head on a swivel. Have a good time. Go enjoy the game. And hopefully whoever travels there could travel back home in one piece and very safe, because it could get dangerous. But big game in town, a lot of people in town, a lot of money to be made and a lot of money to be spent. So I think they're going to host a good Super Bowl. I think they're going to do very well. They're going to present themselves well, and I think everybody's going to have a good time.
Absolutely, man. Las Vegas, a lot of high rollers and also a lot of betting going on for the big one, and certainly a never a dull moment in Las Vegas. You mentioned the Strip and amongst other things. All right, so now, Eric, this is the moment everybody's waiting for. Now it's time for the game picks. Who do you think is going to win this year's big one, the score, and anything else you want to add?
Kansas City. I'm not going against Patrick Mahomes. I'm sorry. I'm just not. It's just not on my cards to go against Patrick Mahomes. So I got Kansas City. I think the game's going to be close for a little while. Then I just think Kansas City's just going to win it the same way they won it the first time. 31-20, Kansas City, Patrick Mahomes, MVP.
All right, so that's Eric and who he thinks he's going to win. He likes the Chiefs to win. He likes Mahomes to be the MVP. All right, now it's time for my pick. Man, I've been battling for this one. I've been back and forth, but hey, this is who I think is going to win. It's going to be a very close game, but I like the San Francisco 49ers to win it. My score, 33-30. I think Brock Purdy is going to have his coming-of-age moment in this game. He's going to come up in the clutch. He's going to come through in the clutch, excuse me. And again, I like the 49ers to win. 33-30. Brock Purdy, MVP of the big one. So anything else you want to add, Eric?
Just, man, it's going to be a good game. Tune in. You know, when I watch Super Bowl Sunday, I watch everything, all the intangibles that come with it. I watch the pregame shows. I watch Super Bowl highlights. Usually Saturday night, I watch some of the older Super Bowls. You know, I try to experience it and enjoy it. It's once a year. Then after Sunday, there's no more football until August, at least NFL football. But, you know, I like to sit down, eat some good food, whatever I feel like cooking that year. This year it's going to be a little seafood. Might even blow off a couple of cold ones, you know, get a couple of Bud Lights. Who knows? But I will be enjoying the game all day long. We'll be dedicated to the Super Bowl. I treat it like Christmas all day long, Super Bowl. So this is a... This is an exciting game, almost like last year, because you really don't know who was going to win. There's some Super Bowls you know who's going to win. You know, when the Ravens faced the Giants, you knew the Ravens was winning. Come on, it was no joke. When Tampa Bay faced the Raiders, Tampa Bay, you knew they were going to win. This game, it's hard to really say. A lot of talent on the field, a lot of future Hall of Famers, two good coaches, two good teams, little good food, some good people, some good family. And just enjoy. That's all you can say is sit back and enjoy the game.
Eric, you've said a lot, man, and we're going to end it on that, man. Thank you so much as always, man. And you know, if you ever want to come back on, you know where to find us, okay?
Oh, no doubt. I enjoy coming on the show now. Can't wait to get back on it already.
Hey, you already know, bro. And that's going to do it for this special edition of this great show. For Eric, I'm yours truly, Ed Robinson, saying so long. And, hey, enjoy it, and you take care.
Modern life is noisy. Noise is everywhere. Excessive noise is harmful, linked to sleep deprivation, hearing loss, and heart disease. Should noise be the price we pay for progress? Actually, no. Many noise sources have quieter options. Gas-powered landscaping equipment is obsolete, with battery-powered options greatly reducing noise and air pollution. Audible car alarms are obsolete, with vehicle immobilizers and GPS tracking providing silent anti-theft technologies. Quieter backup warning sounds are available, and adjustable directional sounds are less intrusive. So what can you do to reduce noise levels? Talk to store and building managers about safe sound levels. Work with elected officials and the police to strengthen noise enforcement. Join Noise Free America, a coalition to promote quiet.
T-Mobile 5G home internet can leave you with slower speeds during its busiest hours. Why deal with that? Switch to Cox internet with 2x faster download speeds than T-Mobile 5G home internet during peak hours. Visit cox.com/5G home to learn more. Trying to get home to stream that highly anticipated series finale? Well, it may take longer with T-Mobile 5G home internet. You could be stuck with slower speeds during the busiest hours because you share your network with cell phone users. Why deal with that? Switch to Cox internet with 2x faster download speeds than T-Mobile 5G home internet during peak hours. Plus, Cox offers free panoramic Wi-Fi equipment and a 30-day money-back guarantee. Why not switch? Visit cox.com/5G home for details. T-Mobile prioritizes certain T-Mobile phone users over home internet users during times of congestion.
When it comes to Botox, choose the one you know. Weiler Plastic Surgery. We're a national top 20 Allergan provider with multiple locations to serve you. Book your same-day Botox appointment today at WeilerPlasticSurgery.com.
Hi, I'm Dr. Ruben Patel with Patient Plus Urgent Care. These days, it can be hard to find the time and money to take care of yourself. We're here to help with our new Urgent Care membership. Starting at $20 a month, the same as your car wash membership, visit any of our locations for that scratchy throat, runny nose, fever, chills, or any injury. Visit patientplusuc.com/membership for more information. patientplusuc.com/membership.
When it comes to Botox, choose the one you know. Weiler Plastic Surgery. We're a national top 20 Allergan provider with multiple locations to serve you. Book your same-day Botox appointment today at WeilerPlasticSurgery.com.
Some people take the straight path in life. But at Arizona State University, we respect your twists and turns. They make our online students more driven to excel in their professional lives. That's why our personalized suite of services empowers you with innovative resources and staff that sticks with you.
Make your next turn with one of our 300-plus programs at ASU, number one in innovation for 9 consecutive years. Visit us at asuonline.asu.edu to learn more.
Some people take the straight path in life, but at Arizona State University, we respect your twists and turns. They make our online students more driven to excel in their professional lives. That's why our personalized suite of services empowers you with innovative resources and staff that sticks with you. Make your next turn with one of our 300-plus programs at ASU, ranked in the top 5 for best online bachelor's programs. To learn more, visit asuonline.asu.edu.
Modern life is noisy. Noise is everywhere. Excessive noise is harmful, linked to sleep deprivation, hearing loss, and heart disease. Should noise be the price we pay for progress? Actually, no. Many noise sources have quieter options. Gas-powered landscaping equipment is obsolete, with battery-powered options greatly reducing noise and air pollution. Audible car alarms are obsolete, with vehicle immobilizers and GPS tracking providing silent anti-theft technologies. Quieter backup warning sounds are available, and adjustable directional sounds are less intrusive. So what can you do to reduce noise levels? Talk to store and building managers about safe sound levels. Work with elected officials and the police to strengthen noise enforcement. Join Noise Free America, a coalition to promote quiet.
How powerful is Cox Fiber? Powerful enough to keep fans across the country in the action on the biggest game days of the year. Whether you're one of 65,000 fans at Allegiant Stadium or you're streaming the game at home with Cox Fiber from the company with America's fastest download speeds, whenever it matters most, Cox keeps you connected. Limited availability in select areas. Speeds vary and are not guaranteed. Cox terms and other restrictions may apply. Analysis by Ookla of speed test intelligence data. Fixed median download speeds. US Q3 2023. How powerful is Cox Internet? Powerful enough to keep fans across the country in the action on the biggest game days of the year. Whether you're one of 65,000 fans at Allegiant Stadium or you're streaming the game at home with America's fastest download speeds powered by fiber. Whenever it matters most, Cox keeps you connected. Cox Internet is connected to the premises via coaxial connection. Speeds vary and are not guaranteed. Cox terms and other restrictions may apply. Analysis by Ookla of speed test intelligence data. Fixed median download speeds. US Q3 2023. How powerful is Cox Fiber? Powerful enough to keep fans across the country in the action on the biggest game days of the year. Whether you're one of 65,000 fans at Allegiant Stadium or you're streaming the game at home with Cox Fiber from the company with America's fastest download speeds, whenever it matters most, Cox keeps you connected. Limited availability in select areas. Speeds vary and are not guaranteed. Cox terms and other restrictions may apply. Analysis by Ookla of speed test intelligence data. Fixed median download speeds. US Q3 2023.